Good evening and welcome to worship. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we invite you into this space to be at work in our lives, to guide us and to direct us. Lord, might our hearts be open to you tonight. May you be at work within us and among us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Be at peace and silence as you listen for the Holy One. From Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably upon his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. Allow God to direct you to a word or a phrase from the second reading of the text. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. During this silence, you are invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the prayer bench to receive prayer for yourself or another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or an offering, you're welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle, take communion, or exit the worship center. Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. From Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. Pay attention. Listen. Notice. Pay attention. We aren't too good at that. We are, of course, really good at paying attention to ourselves and what's going on in our own world. We are not so good at paying attention to the needs of others. Instead, we can pay attention to our own wants and our own needs. But here's the thing. Not only do we need to be able to pay attention to others in order to be good human beings, it's also a vital part of our lives as Christians. In this scripture reading, we get this short story from the life of Jesus. Now, of course, the main action in this story is that Jesus raises a man from the dead. This is one of three stories in the Gospels of Jesus bringing a person back to life. But this story, it's about more than just the miracle of resurrection. This story is about an ultimate example of the ministry of Jesus, of what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to offer life, which is what he gives to the man. But life is also what he gives to the man's mother. Jesus came to offer life, and he came to offer life compassionately. This story, it highlights the compassion of Christ. And as followers of Christ, if we're going to try to live like Jesus, this story shows us how through the actions of Jesus, how we can be compassionate givers of life. And the first thing we have to do, we have to pay attention. This miracle story of Jesus, it starts out a little different than most. And most healing stories, or even the miracles that Jesus does in the gospel, somebody comes to Jesus and requests healing or help. They seek him out. They find him. Here, though, something different happens. It's Jesus who notices the woman. It's Jesus who notices the deceased young man, old enough to be referenced to as a man, but obviously young enough so as it's obvious that this is not the woman's husband. It is Jesus who notices the crowd, the funeral procession, the weeping. Jesus pays attention to the widow. The widow doesn't come and seek Jesus out. She may not even have known who he was. Now you might say, well, I might not pay attention that great, but even I would notice a funeral procession and think that the people might need some compassion. Well, let me tell you, I drive in my fair share of funeral processions, and it amazes me how easily people fail to notice them. And if we can't notice lines of cars with blinking lights and flags, often led by a police car, how are we going to notice the people in those cars? The widows. Now, in Jesus' time, it's probably even more meaningful that the woman was a widow who had lost her son than it is for us to understand. Because then this woman, at this point, has no means of income. She would have relied on her husband. And if the woman was widowed like this woman, she would have relied on her son to get by. But now this woman has also lost her son, which means she's lost her home and her possessions, her way to get by, her life. She now has nothing. In Jesus' time, widows and orphans were the pinnacle that nobody wanted to be, the pinnacle of poverty and need. They had no value and were unimportant. And yet, Jesus paid attention to this woman. Jesus noticed her. Who needs our attention? Who are the people in our world today who need us to notice them? The widows and the orphans. I would still say yes, and maybe a little different way than in Jesus' day. But there are also people in our community today who take on the role of the forgotten and the forsaken. Perhaps if Jesus was around today, he would notice the person who struggles with addiction or mental health. Perhaps Jesus would notice the single parent working three jobs. Perhaps Jesus would notice the immigrant. Perhaps Jesus would notice the child living in poverty or an unsafe home or with nobody to care for them. There are many people in our community, in our world, who we need to pay attention to. They're often the ones who, like the widow, don't ask for help. They're often the ones we fail to notice. But if we're going to be people who offer life, people who care like Jesus, we have to pay attention. So we pay attention, and then we feel compassion. We're told in the scripture that after Jesus saw the widow, that he had compassion for her. Now, the word compassion is an important one. If you take it apart, you get come, which means with, and passion. So it's with passion. But even more than that, compassion is a deep feeling. I read that in one of the old English translations of this story, it says that Jesus felt it in his bowels, which is kind of weird, right? We wouldn't say that today. But it's actually what the word compassion originally meant. It was for those situations that you felt in your gut. Those, something is wrong here and I know it within me. This isn't right. I just don't know it. I feel that it's not right. And I want to do something about it. I want to respond. Compassion isn't just feeling sorry for somebody. That's sympathy. It's not even understanding how somebody else feels. That's empathy. Compassion is feeling something so deeply in your gut that something is not right with another person that you have to do something about it. That's what happens in this story. Jesus felt compassion for the widow. He knew that something was not right and that he needed to do something about it. So he raised her son from the dead. He gave the woman back her son, is what the scripture says. And in doing so, he gave her back her life. Jesus paid attention to the woman. Jesus felt compassion for her. Jesus raised her son from the dead. Now you may well say, well, I can't raise anyone from the dead. But that doesn't mean you can't have compassion. It doesn't mean that you can't respond to those in need. You might not be called to raise somebody from the dead, but you're all called to respond to those in need in our world. You're called to compassion. You're called to prayer. You're called to action. Pay attention, feel compassion, and then trust Jesus. Because the final and perhaps most important part is that in this, we must trust that through the power of Jesus, that healing can actually be offered and life can really be given. If we don't trust in the power of Jesus, it'll be hard for us to believe that our attentiveness and our compassion can actually do anything. Yet when we have Christ with us, we can do great things. That's what we see in the scripture. Our scripture tells us that when Jesus saw her, he had compassion. Now, that might not seem important, except that here we are in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and this is the first time that Luke uses Lord as a title for Jesus. Luke, I think, is making a point here. This isn't just a guy doing miracles. This is God giving life. This is possible because anything is possible with God. And this God that Jesus is, this is a God who pays attention to the least and the last and the lost. Jesus is God who has compassion on those in need. Jesus is God who has the power to heal and to restore life. Our Lord, Jesus, the one we are striving to follow in our lives, this Lord, Luke tells us, has both the compassion and the power needed to give life. So trust the Lord. Trust that those who need attention and compassion can be offered life and healing and hope through the power and compassion of Jesus by how we show love.